Shall we read together from Isaiah chapter 1, the verses 1 through 20? Isaiah 1, verses 1 through 20, where we also read God's call to repentance and to a full remission of sins of apostate Judah. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with a sword. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. So far. He deals tonight with the conquest of Mansoul. because John Bunyan is picturing to us how King Shaddai is at work gaining man's soul back again. You know that he created man. That's the human heart within man's soul. And it was very good. It was a blessed time, a time of peace and tranquility. And then we also know how Diabolus wanted to destroy this beautiful city, wanted to ruin it out of hatred and spite against King Shaddai. And so Diabolus devised this plan with his cohorts, how to deceive man's soul. And he succeeded in tricking man's soul, in opening up the ear gate, and man's soul was deceived. And then they opened up the gate, and Diabolus came in, and he changed the whole city. He took down that image of Shaddai and put up his own image, and man's soul was ruined. And there was great grief at the royal court of King Shaddai. And El Shaddai and his son Emmanuel, they withdrew into a conclave to discuss together what should be done, the council of peace. And then Shaddai had stated that his son would go and reconquer man's soul and bring it back into subjection unto Shaddai. So first King Shaddai sent brave captains, four brave captains who pictured the law. So they leveled certain convictions against the town, but they couldn't break open the gates. And then these four captains, realizing they were unable to convince and to regain man's soul by the terrors of the law, they then petitioned Prince Emmanuel himself to come. And now he has come, and he is offering his overtures of grace to man's soul. But man's soul has barricaded the ear gate, and the ear gate is manned by a certain platoon of men who are known as the deaf men. It all shows man's soul does not want to listen. And that's how human heart is. Doesn't want to listen. Resists. That's how man is by nature. Doesn't want to give up. Doesn't want to give in. Doesn't want to listen. They harden themselves and they continue on the self-chosen paths. And then Prince Emmanuel gathers his armies together. He realizes that all his words are despised, but he still wants to find out if man's soul would possibly surrender in a peaceable manner, that warfare would not be needed. And within man's soul also, deliberations are taking place, because they do feel uneasy that Prince Emmanuel is standing in front of the city gates. And so they devise a plan. Maybe they can negotiate with Emmanuel. And so there's a servant of Diabolus called Mr. Loath to Stoop. And he was sent out. He had to negotiate with Prince Emmanuel. And he comes into the camp of Emmanuel and tells Emmanuel that, well, Diabolus says it's no problem if Emmanuel takes half the city. But Emmanuel answers, no, the whole city belongs to me. And then Mr. Loath to Stoop tries again by saying, well, Prince Emmanuel can have the whole city as long as Diabolus may be content to have a little place in that city where he can privately live. But to this, Emmanuel answers that whatever the Father has given me, I will lose nothing. I will have the entire town of Mansoul to myself alone. And then again, Mr. Loth to Stoop starts negotiating, saying, well, Prince Emmanuel, you can have the whole city to yourself as long as Diabolus can pay a visit to the town from time to time, and he can stay there for a day or two. Can this not be granted? And then Prince Emmanuel says, well, Diabolus also paid a visit to David, a short visit, but the result was misery, lifelong misery for King David because of his sin with Bathsheba. And then again Mr. Loth to Stoop tries. He claims that Prince Emmanuel is a very hard man, and that if you would allow some friends of Diabolus so now and then to be in the town, well, my master Diabolus can live with that too. Then those friends can still do some business in the town. But Prince Emmanuel answers, no. This is contrary to the will of my father. And then again, Mr. Loth to Stoop tries, but wouldn't it then not be possible that from time to time letters can be sent from Diabolus to the inhabitants of the town? But the response is, in no way and by no means. And then again, Mr. Loth to Stoop tries again by saying that Diabolus, if Diabolus could live, can he not leave behind some tokens of his love and compassion and care he had for this city of Mansoul? But the answer is again negative. And then Mr. Loth to Stoop tries for the last time to say, then, may not some of the inhabitants of Mansoul then go out into the neighboring villages to meet Diabolus there, so from time to time? But Emmanuel would not grant this either. It would be a great offense to my father's wisdom to let some from Mansoul go out to confer with Diabolus and consult with him, asking for advice. No, they should in all things, by prayer and supplication, let all their requests be made known to my father. No way may a door be opened to Diabolus or to any of his influences. And after this, Mr. Loth to Stoop went back to Diabolus, telling him that Emmanuel would not admit or allow anything. Well, they then decided that they had to keep out Emmanuel from the city of Mansoul at all costs. So Mr. Loth to Stoop was sent to the top of Ear Gate. And there he called out to the camp of Prince Emmanuel for a hearing. And from the top of Ear Gate he cried out that it is in vain if Prince Emmanuel would ever think of having Mansoul for himself. He can only take it by force. To which Emmanuel answers that he will surely conquer Mansoul, if needs be by force. And so the war starts, the battle commences. He commands the four captains, Boanerges, Conviction, Judgment, Execution, to go out to battle. And Captain Credence would accompany them. They should attack the Ear Gate. But he also wants to attack the Eye Gate. And he sends out Captain Good Hope and Captain Charity to attack the Eye Gate. And the rest of his army should stand alert. And the battle cry would be, Emmanuel. And the battering rams were set up. And the slings whirled stones into the town. Diabolus commanded the battle inside Mansoul, put up stiff resistance, and the battle went on for days. And the captains attacking Ear Gate made some progress. Captain Conviction came up close to the gate. But he received 3 wounds in his mouth, and he had to retreat. Because through the mouth, the attack was upon ear gate. It's through the mouth that ear gate could be assaulted. But now his mouth, he suffered wounds. He couldn't speak anymore properly. And so Prince Emmanuel comforted his captains, giving each of them a chain of gold, and told them to carry on, be of good courage. And some of the officers of Diabolus were slain. For instance, one Captain Boasting, together with Captain Secure, and a Captain Bragman. You know, in all this we see how the Lord is assaulting a soul to save that soul. And that the outcome must be that the devil has nothing to do with that person anymore. Because when the Lord works in your heart, you don't want to listen to anything of what the devil whispers or suggests or entices you to do. There needs to be no consultation with him, no listening to him. But then the Lord leads his people that they are focused only upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He becomes their master, their Lord, their King. And that's what salvation is. That I'm no longer king. That I don't bow for the kings of this world with their temptation and their sins. But that I desire only to bow for Prince Emmanuel in everything of my life. And in that spiritual battle that takes place against man's soul, we read here that Captain Boasting was killed. You know, when the Lord afflicts, and the Lord brings low, and there's strife in the soul, and there's a struggle going on, and the peace is removed, then a person doesn't boast anymore. He doesn't brag anymore either that he can do so much. He realizes how weak he is. He realizes how sinful he is. So Mr. Bragman, Mr. Boasting were killed. Also Captain Secure. He was also a Diabolian. You see, the false rest, the false security is taken away. There's a struggle and a strife going on. There's no rest, no peace, and there will be no rest until the soul capitulates and says, "Thou art my Lord and my King." Another man called Mr. Feeling continually encouraged man's soul to rebellion. He was wounded in the eye. And in this battle, a certain Love No Good was also killed. And Mr. Illpause, assistant of Diabolus, who would carry out the will of Diabolus, Mr. Illpause received a terrible wound in his head, and after this he was unable to do much mischief in man's soul as he had done in the past. You see, bit by bit the Lord is at work removing the obstacles and drawing the soul to himself. And then Prince Emmanuel raises the white flag. And that means if the people surrender, they will not be killed. They will be spared. That's how it was. We saw that last time, I believe, in the days of John Bunyan. When there was warfare, the white flag, you can surrender and you will be spared. But then Diabolus, realizing that the inhabitants of Mansoul would be spared, he tried to negotiate. He speaks from the wall to Prince Emmanuel, saying, "Well, the city will reform itself as long as Emmanuel will break up the siege." And Diabolus says he would show Mansoul how they had sinned, and he would reform Mansoul. You see, a man promises, a sinner promises to do things better, to do things good. That's how a person tries to negotiate with the Most High God. And Diabolus even says that he would explain to them what laws they had broken and show the people there's a necessity of reformation. And I will bear the costs of this myself, says Diabolus. And as a token, Prince Emmanuel, every year you will receive money from us, paying whatever you desire. But then Prince Emmanuel responds that Diabolus is a cheat, full of deceit, and I will consider nothing of what you are proposing. You're speaking of reformation in man's soul, and you would be the head of this work of reformation, but you're not taking care of the desires of man's soul at all. Obedience to the law and so-called self-made reformation will never deliver you, will never save you from the curse. And besides that, says Emmanuel, I am not come to put man's soul upon works, that they would live thereby, but to reconcile them to my Father. And you, Diabolus, have nothing to do in this city. You've taken it by deceit. And then Diabolus realizes that all his deceit was uncovered. He breaks out in a rage, malice against King Shaddai and his son. And at the same time, he's filled with despair. And in reality, he never had the happiness of that town of man's soul in view. And so now he will try to ruin the whole city. Seeing he realizes he's going to lose, he tells his officers to do as much mischief as they can, rending and tearing them. And let us make this city to be a ruin. And so we see a reference here that John Bunyan makes to Mark 9, where the boy who was possessed by a dumb spirit fell on the ground and the spirit was tearing him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. It was then that Prince Emmanuel ordered his soldiers to focus especially upon Diabolus and upon the Diabolians, and to spare the inhabitants of Mansoul. And he knew that in the forthcoming battle, man's soul would be overcome. And so the battle cry of his soldiers was changed. It was now, man's soul is won. And so various charges took place by the prince and his captains against Eargate, and they caused the Eargate to be broken open, and the bars and the bolts were broken to 1,000 pieces, and the whole town shook. Eargate was open. And the soldiers of Prince Emmanuel came in, and Diabolus fled to the castle at the center of Mansoul. Prince Emmanuel placed his throne in that gate and told the captains to march up to old Mr. Recorder's home, also known as Mr. Conscience. God had created man's soul with a conscience, a pure conscience. And the conscience had spoken after the fall, but it was quite silenced. He hadn't spoken as he should have spoken. And he realized that he had transgressed greatly in keeping silence, that he perverted justice while he should have executed it. He had no compensation for what he had done wrong, had he failed. And so this Mr. Conscience, that he realized he was a traitor, and he trembles because now Prince Emmanuel is gaining control of the city. In the meantime, Captain Execution was busy hunting Lord Will Be Will. And that is man's will, the will of man. The man's will had been perverted by Diabolus. And Captain Execution succeeded in killing some of the officers of Diabolus, like Mr. Prejudice and also Captain Treacherous. He made a great slaughter among many of the soldiers of the Lord Will Be Will. And then in another part of town, Mr. Illpause, who was, as we saw, the assistant of Diabolus. He had done much mischief, but he fell dead by the hand of Captain Good Hope. And so Diabolus lay dead in every corner of the city. And now the old recorder, known as Mr. Conscience, and the previous Lord Mayor, known as Lord Understanding, that's how God had created man's soul, with a pure understanding, but he was perverted by Diabolus. But they together sent a petition to Emmanuel while he sat in the gate of Mansoul. They requested that their lives would be spared. So Mr. Conscience and Lord Understanding, they petitioned that their lives would be spared. But Prince Emmanuel gave no answer to this request. In the meantime, the soldiers of Prince Emmanuel were now attacking the gates of the castle. And finally, the gates of the castle that was called impregnable was broken into splinters. And now the trumpets sounded throughout the prince's camp. And then the prince himself, clothed in golden armor, marched up to the old recorder's home, the home of Mr. Conscience. And as he walked through the streets, the people of the town were deeply impressed by the beauty of Prince Emmanuel. They wondered at his glory. They wondered at the reservedness of how he was. There was no expression on his face. He was dignified, just like Joseph, who initially did not show any affection to his brothers when they came to buy corn in Egypt. And also these inhabitants of Mansoul knew they had sinned against King Shaddai, and they thought that they were being made desolate and that they would be punished. But when they saw him marching through their streets, they saw beauty in him. And in their hearts they desired that he again would be ruler, that they would become under his protection. And together they talked about the beauty of his person, but at the same time they were greatly convicted of his sin. And when the Lord works in one's heart, then the person of Christ becomes desirable. Then there are impressions of his beauty and of his blessedness and purity. And then in the midst of conviction, in the midst of realizing that we have sinned against God, there's still this desire. How wonderful would it be to be under the banner of the Lord Jesus Christ. But as Prince Emmanuel came to the castle, which was now broken open, he commanded Diabolus to appear, but he refused. Then Emmanuel commanded that they would take Diabolus by force, bind him in chains, and reserve him to the judgment that was appointed to him. Diabolus entreated Emmanuel that Emmanuel would not send him into the deep. And Emmanuel led Diabolus into the marketplace, stripped him of his armor, and made him naked. He commanded that Diabolus would be bound in chains to his chariot wheels. And so Prince Emmanuel rode in triumph into the town, through the town of Mansoul, and out through the eye gate to his own camp. And what a glorious shouting was there in the camp when in the camp of Emmanuel, all there realized that Emmanuel's enemy was tied to his chariot wheels. And then they said, he has led captivity captive. He has spoiled principalities and powers. There was great joy even among the angels, those who dwell in the highest. They opened the windows, put out their heads to look down to see this glorious victory. And then Prince Emmanuel declared that Diabolus was totally overcome and that he nevermore would become a possessor of man's soul. How glorious when the Lord Jesus enters a soul. For then the Prince of Darkness will never again usurp authority over that soul. The Lord will secure his authority over his people. He will never forsake the works of his hands. We believe the perseverance of the saints. Maybe we should better say the perseverance of the Lord in the life of his saints. So Diabolus was sent away from Emmanuel to inherit the parched places in the salt land, seeking rest, but finding none. How terrible to resist Emmanuel and to belong to Diabolus. They will be in the salt land. They will seek rest, but find none. And so far, the prince, Emmanuel, did not stay in the town of Mansoul, but his royal pavilion was still in the camp in the midst of his father's forces. And from there, he sent special orders to his captains to summon all the inhabitants of Mansoul to appear in the castle yard, and that Emmanuel's captains would take 3 prisoners, Lord Understanding, which was the Lord Mayor, also the old recorder, Mr. Conscience, and also Lord Will Be Will. And the 3 of them had to be put in prison. And the inhabitants of Mansoul were very troubled because they had followed these 3 men. And if these 3 men would be executed, that would imply that they also would be executed. So the inhabitants of Mansoul devised a petition to the prince. It was presented by the hand of a certain Mr. Woodlive. And they humbly begged that they would still find favor in his sight and spare them according to the greatness of his mercy, and that they would not die but live in his sight. The petition was presented, and the prince accepted it, but sent the messenger away in silence. He came back, and what did Prince Emmanuel say? Asked the inhabitants of Mansoul. He said nothing. Well, then we must send another petition. They sent a messenger, and they asked Captain Conviction to be a messenger. But he said, I can never be a spokesman on behalf of traitors towards my Lord. So then they found a certain Mr. Desires Awake, and he was the messenger. And when Mr. Desires Awake came to the camp, he fell down before the prince and cried out, Oh, that man's soul might live before thee. The prince received the petition, turned away for a while and wept, came back and told him to go to his place. And so Mr. Desires Awake came back to Mansoul and said that his beauty was so wonderful and he was so glorious. But he did not know what the response would be. The 3 prisoners were also afraid that they were going to be put to death. Everything was uncertain. They had sinned and they deserved to die. They realized that. Old Mr. Recorder, known as Mr. Conscience, he was sure they would be put to death. So these men felt the results of their stubborn rebellion and unlawful resistance against their prince, and the soul under conviction that has been overcome will sense that he deserves to die forever, that he has no rights left before the Lord. He can only plead upon grace. So they wrote a petition, these three men, confessing they were worthy to be cast into the pit, and if the Lord would condemn them, he would be righteous. But yet they begged for mercy. And who would be their messenger? Well, then they said, maybe a certain Mr. Good Deed. But Mr. Conscience said, no, that will not avail. Not Mr. Good Deed. Well, send Mr. Desires Awake again. But then he desired to send his neighbor, Mr. Wet Eyes, that he would be their messenger. And this Mr. Wet Eyes was a poor man who had a broken spirit, but he could speak well to a petition. And now they went together, Mr. Desires Awake, together with Mr. Wet Eyes. And they arrived before the mighty prince. And they desired that man's soul would live before him. Oh, let my Lord not be angry, they said. And why inquirest thou after the name of such a dead dog as I am? Mr. Wet Eyes prayed that the prince would have mercy and bypass the sins of man's soul. And Prince Emmanuel told them to get up and to realize that man's soul had previously rebelled against his father, and that they had chosen a murderer, a liar, to be their king. This is a terrible offense to my father. They had rebelled against him. You have shut your gates against me. You resisted me as long as you could. But now that I've made a conquest of you, now you come to me and you cry for mercy. Why didn't you cry for mercy when I was still outside of the city gates? Why did you not cry before? But now I've conquered Diabolus. Now you ask a favor. I will consider your petition, and I will answer it to my glory. Well, the two messengers were told to tell Captain Boanerges and Captain Conviction to bring out the three prisoners to him in the morning. So these two messengers arrived back at the city gate, where they were eagerly waiting for their return. And it's perfectly true. They realized what Prince Emmanuel told these two messengers, that indeed the Lord had arrested and stopped them in their foolish conduct by conquering man's soul. Otherwise they would have persisted in their evil conduct. So the three prisoners were taken out. They prepared to die. And the whole town of Mansoul spent that night in mourning, in sackcloth and ashes. And Bunyan describes this condition from his own life. Bunyan experienced darkness, afflictions, and tribulations. That there was nothing that passed more frequently over my mind, Bunyan writes, than that it was impossible for me to be forgiven my transgression and to be saved from wrath to come. For my side, it's impossible. I have forfeited every right, and they gave him much darkness. Bunyan is describing something of his own experience, realizing he had sinned, was unworthy of the least of God's blessings, And the next morning, the whole town of Mansoul appeared on the city walls in mourning clothes, so that maybe their prince Emmanuel would be filled with compassion. The three prisoners were taken down into the camp of Prince Emmanuel. They had to stand upright. Prince Emmanuel asked them, "You were first servants of Shaddai?" They answered, "Yes." And the prince said, "You allowed yourself to be corrupted by that abominable Diabolus?" They said, "Yes, we did it on our own accord." The prince then asked, "Would you have been content that your slavery would have continued under this tyranny as long as you lived?" They said, "Yes, Lord. Yes, for his ways were pleasing to our flesh." The prince said, "Do you heartily wish that I would gain the victory over Mansoul?" Then they said, "Yes." But then the prince said, "What punishment do you think you deserve from my hand?" And they answered, "Death, to be cast into the bottomless pit." And the prince asked again, "Anything to say for yourself?" They said, "Nothing, Lord. Thou art just, and we have sinned." The prince asked if this confession was also the confession of the inhabitants of Mansoul. And he said, "Yes." It was then stated that a messenger would go throughout Mansoul with a trumpet, proclaiming that Prince Emmanuel had gained a full victory over Mansoul, and that the captains and the soldiers would sing songs of triumph. But in the meantime, the prisoners were brought before the prince. They came trembling. And the prince said, "I have power and commandment from my father to forgive the inhabitants of Mansoul. And they also have power to forgive you accordingly." And he then gave a general pardon written on parchment, telling these three men to proclaim tomorrow to the whole town of Mansoul that they had been forgiven. And the prince stripped the prisoners from their clothes of mourning and gave them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. He then also gave these three men jewels of gold and precious stones. And when these three prisoners heard what Prince Emmanuel had said, what he was doing for them, they nearly fainted. They were staggering because of all these benefits and all these mercies. But the prince put his everlasting arms around them, and the three men fell down and kissed the feet of their prince. John Bunyan writes in Grace Abounding that he received such strong apprehensions of the grace of God that he could hardly bear up under it. It was out of measure, amazing. It made him incapable of business, realizing that God forgives the sins. And now the steps of these three men were enlarged. Psalm 18, verse 36, "Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. They had been shut up by distressing fears and terrors and awful convictions of their conscience. The souls were now at liberty, and they walked in peace. They were filled with heavenly enjoyments. And they cried out with a loud voice, 'Blessed be the glory of the Lord.' They were told to go back to Mansoul and to tell them what the prince had done. So they became proclaimers of the rich grace of Prince Emmanuel. And in the city there was music. And Mr. Recorder read off the general pardon and that when Prince Emmanuel would enter through the eye gate, where they shall meet him. And Prince Emmanuel commanded Captain Judgment and Captain Execution to leave the city. Judgment and Execution had to leave the city. And so man's soul was delivered from all his terrors. What a difference. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and with singing. Or who is like unto thee, pardoning iniquity, transgression and sin? And so these three former prisoners had gone out of the city dressed in black. But they came back dressed in white. And they were adorned with chains of gold. They had left the city expecting death. But they came back with the assurance of life. The recorder and Lord Mayor exclaimed, "O glad tidings, good tidings of great joy to poor Mansoul." And Mr. Recorder cried out, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. And they told the inhabitants all that had happened. And these inhabitants, they wondered at the wisdom and the grace of Prince Emmanuel. And that night they could not sleep for joy. And the following morning, Prince Emmanuel came to the city. And the whole town came out to thank and praise him for his abundant favor. They bowed 7 times to the ground before him. And he said to them, "All peace be to you." You see, when the Lord shows you something of his loving kindness, then you want to be so small. You realize that you are small, that you can do nothing without him. And that he should receive all honor, praise, and adoration. And then you desire him to be your God forever. And that's why these people of man's soul also exclaimed that Emmanuel will be prince forever over man's soul. But at the same time, they petitioned Prince Emmanuel that the weapons of war would stay in the city, because there were still Diabolians lurking inside the city. And they had to have weapons in order to kill them. And they needed to see the king in his beauty, in his glory and power, so that they would have confidence in him, that they would be more instilled with the delight to love and to know Prince Emmanuel. They wanted him to take up the best part of the town to dwell in their castle. And isn't that a cry of a sinner who knows grace? Lord, take my heart, my life, and let it be devoted to thee. Closer to thee, the better it is. In this way, Emmanuel was received into man's soul. He entered the city. And they strewed flowers upon the street he would walk up on. The elders went dancing before him until he came to the castle gate. And there he entered in his chariot, clothed in golden armor. And the captains of the king's army were quartered in Mansoul. Captain Patience, Captain Charity, Captain Good Hope. That's how the Lord works. He teaches his people patience in the struggles they are going through. He teaches them love, charity. And they have good hope, good perspective upon the Lord. And Prince Emmanuel himself lived in that castle. And from there he would visit the people of Mansoul often and rejoice in them. And they rejoiced in him. His smiles were life and strength to the people of Mansoul. When he spake, they all listened. It was their delight to imitate the prince in his goings. You know, when the Lord enters your life, you desire him. You desire that you would be changed after his image. And when there is sweet communion with the Lord Jesus Christ, those are the best moments in life when he is close by. His smiles, his joys are precious to you. And so the prince here made a feast for the inhabitants of man's soul. And that feast was nothing else but a sweet view of Christ and the comforts of his Spirit. The Lord brought them into his banqueting house, and his banner over them was love, a gospel feast, a feast of fat things, of marrow. It originated from heaven. Now it was in the heart of Prince Emmanuel to remodel the town of Mansoul and to change it into a condition that would be pleasing to him. And so he protected them against enemies. He commanded that great slings would be brought into the city so that the city would be protected. He brought in an instrument that was to throw stones through the mouth gate. And that's a reflection upon prayer, teaching his people to pray, to lay all their needs before the Lord. That's the purpose of these sling stones going out through mouth gate. When a person is converted, he is taught to pray and to intercede, because the Lord teaches his people to warfare, spiritual warfare, and to resist evil. He appointed Captain Credence, which is faith, to command the city in time of war, that the people would learn to live and to fight by faith. Emmanuel called Lord Will Be Will to take care of the gates. It's a human will that was first perverted by Diabolus and now renewed and changed. The will. The Lord changes the will and makes his people very willing in the day of his power. And the Lord gave him authority to find out any Diabolians lurking within the city and to kill them. For God's children, after their conversion, still have to put the old man to death and to mortify the deeds of the flesh. And Prince Emmanuel instituted Lord Understanding, the old Lord Mayor. He was now restored into his former office. Lord Understanding. He had to read continually in the revelation of mysteries all the days of his life. That's the Bible. So that Lord Understanding would be influenced by God's word, that he would know how to perform his office. And Prince Emmanuel also instituted a new recorder. That was Mr. Knowledge. The old recorder was Mr. Conscience. Man was created with a pure conscience. But now the conscience had been perverted. And the conscience had been been improved. But it was still not perfect. And so God's children have to learn to live by, not in the first place by their conscience, but by their knowledge. The knowledge surpasses conscience. The knowledge of the truth. The knowledge of God's word in their heart. And so the conscience needs to be remodeled after the knowledge of God. That's purifying the conscience. Prince Emmanuel did not show contempt upon old Mr. Conscience, but gave him another position. They also had to take down the image of Diabolus and destroy it completely and put up again the image of Shaddai, because through conversion the Lord establishes his own image in the lives of his people. The Lord engraves his name upon the lives of his people. And in this way the Lord renewed the city of Mansoul. The glorious work of God, renewing a human life, displaying his undeserved grace and mercy, and bestowing so much good upon a person that that person melts in love to God and desires to follow him all the days of his life. There was joy in man's soul, and the Lord gives joy in the lives of his people. He gives the most profound joy. So far.